Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, it's June 14th, 2009. I'm your host, Zombie. It saddens me today to have to do a show. I didn't plan on doing a show Wednesday due to family commitments. I'll be honest, I'm going to try to buy a house on Wednesday, so I won't be able to do it. So this will be this week's episode. This episode of Rebel Guard is brought to you by our sponsors, WrestleWarehouse.com, which different swag there, just check them out, and SlamFamJam.com. Lucha Libre and Japanese pro wrestling. Well, yesterday we lost a true legend of the sport of professional wrestling. Masaharu Misawa passed away due to they're not quite sure, and they're not going to do an autopsy at the behest of his family. So I'm just going to be safe to assume that it's been the quote-unquote All Japan style for so many years that has done in Mr. Misawa, and it's a shame. The one time that I met him, he was a very kind gentleman, did what I asked of him, and, you know, he's a really cool dude. I am out on the road today, so I have family issues to take care of, but I will be in and out of the show. We have Killer Kev from the Angry Marks graciously running the board for me, and also I'm joined by my co-host, Joshi Rob. Rob, are you still in shock like I am?
Definitely. You know, it was a terrible thing to happen. But probably nothing worse could have happened. And, you know, it's It's still a real shame, and it's something that'll never be replaced, and yeah. Probably the worst thing that's happened to wrestling in my life.
Oh, today's show, you know, everybody mourns in their own way. We're going to celebrate the life of Masala. We're going to pay tribute to the man that has focal point of the Japanese pro wrestling scene, as well as making an impact in stateside as well. We'll pretty much start from the beginning. Masala broke into the business. Jeez, I don't have my notes here, so I'm thinking mid to 81. Okay, and
won the high school wrestling. He won the national wrestling championships in 1980.
Oh, there you go. When did he don the tiger mask?
I think he donned it about 85, 86.
Yeah, first time I saw him. Oh, 84. Okay. Because the first time that I saw him as Tiger Mask was, I don't remember which one was first. It was either Wrestle Rock for the AWA or the Crockett Cup that year in 86. I don't remember which one was first, but that was when I first saw him as Tiger Mask. And he was different than Sayama. He flew, but he didn't fly as much as Sayama did. He wasn't as fast and didn't throw, you know, as many martial arts type kicks and whatnot, but It was something different, and he was influential, I think, after taking off the mask. I don't really think that, you know, there was much groundbreaking as far as, you know, when he was wearing the mask. I think he just used that to, you know, gain a name and experience around the world, you know, I don't have my notes here. Like I said, I'm on the road. So, Rob, do you happen to know how he lost the mask, or did he just take it off?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Actually, it's a really interesting story. There was the match, and there was even some clips on YouTube of it. And basically, it's him and Kawada. Now, this is how far this goes back. They were a tag team. And Kawada unmasks Masala purposely, and Masala just goes right after, I think, Tenryu. So.
Mm-hmm.
It was just suddenly and surprising, but it was a pretty cool, it was a neat little thing.
So it was just during the match, during a tag match?
Yeah, he just takes it right off, and Masala lets him, and then he just goes, I believe he goes right after Tenryu. It's awesome.
Tremendous. That was before Tenryu had the belly rolls, right? The wrinkles? Maybe.
Well, you know, Tenryu's always had some kind of wrinkle. So, but, you know, way before now. Way before, like, the guy is now. You know, it was only when he was, you know, kind of old at, 40 or so. So, maybe 38, 40.
Now, one of my favorite Tiger Mask matches, when he was working as Tiger Mask 2, was he had a match with Kurt Hennig in All Japan. And it was just a blowaway match. And this was the time when Kurt was really learning how to be a dick. And, you know, it was just really fun stuff. Tiger Mask 2 has done his thing with Steamboat. He's done his, you know, with every big-time foreigner that came in All Japan between, you know, 84 and, what is it, 86. And, he was pretty much a flag bearer, you know, and then until he took off the mask, and then it was just, you know, history from there. Now, Rob, what's your favorite Masala moment? I'm not going to say match, but moment.
Moment? Oh, man, that's a tough one. Man, that is really challenging. I'm trying to think. Man, that's a tough one. Maybe his first or second title reign when he lost to Hansen. Or no, when he beat Hansen. He just, like, absolutely nailed him with this, like, forearm. It was, like, the greatest thing. He just wound up and looked so mad, and he just whammed him right in the face. It was great.
Now, what year was that?
Well, if I'm correct, I think it was 92,
okay. All right, yeah, so that was towards the, that was the boom period. So, now was that in, was that a title change?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure he won the title with it. It was, it must have been his first title reign, and he just...
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Now,
if I can interrupt.
Sure. Jump on in, Kev. Am I there?
Hello?
Welcome to Rubber Guard Radio.
Yeah, it's Mike Tempervivi, calling in here. The, wanted to know the well, the autopsy isn't going to be released, but at the request of his family. It's not that they're not doing one. It's just not going to be released at the request of his
right.
family.
Now, Mike,
and,
do you think it's wear and tear?
Well, and there was the other thing of what you said a little bit earlier on there. That it's possible, but since we're never going to know exactly what it was, and his heart stopped beating. I mean, he was got to be very heavy. You know, I'm not. He wasn't, you know, morbidly obese or anything like that, but he was very heavy and he worked very hard. And you know, you don't know exactly what kind of, you know, health, you know, what he did outside the ring, but he obviously had put on a lot of weight. So I mean, really. You can't say it was the style that did it. If he would have died of dementia or something like that, that would have been more understandable. But really, right now, you really can't say it was the style.
Well, me personally, I mean, I think it was a lot of things. I mean, number one, he definitely wasn't on steroids. You know, I don't think this happens in Japan, but, you know, that's one thing. But, you know, he also, you know, he gained weight, which I don't know if that was too much. You know, he pushed himself really hard. Obviously, he was under a ton of stress with, you know, trying to run a company and be a main event star and deal with many injuries. So, you know, I mean, it's obvious, it's never going to be just one thing. I mean, it's a culmination of things. But that was,
and also a little bit of a, and I actually have to go here, but you also, too, when he took that mask off, it was actually in a match with Kawada against Yatsu and Koto Fuyuki, who ended up being more known for what he did in FMW. But that was actually who it was, and he went after Yatsu. So I just wanted
there
to
you
know, clear that stuff up, and that's it. So hope you guys have a good show.
Thanks, Michael, for calling in, brother. I appreciate it.
No problem at all. Bye.
That was Mike Sempervivi from F4W Online's Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. I can only drop in for a couple minutes, but thanks for calling in. Those that are listening, there'll be, I don't know if there's going to be a chat or not. If you want to jump in there, Kevin, if you like, that would be angrymarks.com/chat, all small letters. Don't use big letters. It doesn't work. Now, for those that are listening and you'd like to call in, 347-215-7946. Wow. Kevin, do we have anybody on hold?
No, all lines are open.
Awesome. We'll be having open lines, you know, until we drop. So now, my favorite Masala moment, I think, was probably have to be the match, you know, the match. You guys know what I'm talking about. June 3rd, 94. That match was a smart mark stream, and it still. To this day, holds water, and it makes every smart mark cream their shorts when they watch it. You know, this is the, you know, God's gift to pro wrestling. This is it. But it just the way that those two gentlemen just told the story, and Masao has always been a great storyteller in the ring, not just, you know, the sick bumps and the hard hits and stuff. He's a really good storyteller with the facials, but that's what you tend to get from the mid-90s All Japan Pro Wrestling. And, you know, they did the harder style, but they also told the story on such a higher level where, I mean, it's the stuff was nuts. I mean, you know, like on the Observer update that Brian and Dave did the other day, it's like a lot of their matches bleed together, but that's the point. That's the story they're trying to tell, where that, you know, from each match, it continues. And, you know, that's cool. I dig that. And, you know, you don't see it now, because guys aren't, you know, programmed long enough to see the story actually build, as a, you know, as opposed to running angles on a TV and all that. They didn't have to. It was, I want to be the better guy than you. I want to be the top guy. And it was, you can even go as far as to say that the Triple Crown was a prop. I mean, because these guys would go into the ring and they would just kill each other trying to show the fans that they are the better man, either in winning or losing. But I think that for me, is the Japanese fighting spirit. That, for me, is what it is. Their goal is to impress, well, not, I guess impress the fans, but, you know, I mean, you know, impress everyone in the company, not just the fans, the boys, the owner, management, you know. They took a lot of pride in their work, and you can tell in each match that they had, either, you know, it was Masao Kawada, Masao Kamashi, you know, I mean, Masao and Fuchi, for fuck's sake. I mean, it could be, you know, anybody, but they take pride in their work, even when they're, quote-unquote, phoning it in. When I saw Masao alive in 03, sure, he phoned it in the main event. But I got to meet fucking Masao. So, I mean, that was it for me. You know, and me and, you know, 300 of my closest friends, which, go figure, you know, in Northern California, Masao drew 300. And, you know, the thing about that show in Hayward is that the main event was Bart Roxon, who was trained out here by Modest and Morgan, and he's since gone on to greener pastures, and his partner was Nigel McGuinness. And that match got Nigel his job. Nigel had an in-ring tryout with Masao and Ogawa. Ugh, I hate that guy. But, you know, and Nigel showed that he could keep up, and it got him a job. And I don't think you're going to see that type of excursion anymore to the States, where these guys, you know, from management in Japan will come and check out guys, you know, that close in the ring. But, yeah, I'm just rambling. So, Rob, jump on in here. Save me, brother.
Well, I can add in that, you know, I've met Masao myself, too. I only got to meet him about once, though, and it was real, real quick. And, you know, I mean, when there's like a billion other fans trying to meet him, too, you know, I can only give so much time for that. So I didn't really get to meet him. But, you know, I went to the Ring of Honor show. It was right before him and Kenta. I think it was something like him and Marishima versus Kenta and Marufuji, or... You know, put a name somewhere else, you know. That's not exact, but, you know, put a name somewhere in there. Yeah, that match kind of killed Noah for me because, you know, I drove something like 6 hours to go see him and spent, you know, a couple $100, and I got a 30-minute draw, you know. So I was a little bit disappointed. But, yeah, you know, I would have loved to have met him more and talked to him more. And,
anybody on Alexa? Am I on?
Yeah, you're on, Rob.
Okay, we got Rob on and Zombie's on. How about anybody in the Quay?
Nope, nobody.
Okay.
Nobody in the chat room at angrymarks.com/chat or.
Alrighty. Okay, so let's see. Okay, now you met Masao for a few moments. What kind of vibe did you get from him as a person? You know, meeting, you know, a guy Jen Mark.
you know, he seems kind of what you would think it would be. You know, he's like that, or you know, that guy who's seen better days, but you know, he's still. You know, he could still do whatever he wants right in him, you know. He could still just, you know, go out there and beat anyone.
I'm going to leave a key outside in the dark.
Well, it was a really good experience, you know. Would have liked to have met him more, but...
I actually was, I was lucky. I got to meet him alone. It was more... more personable, I guess. I walked up to him and I bowed, shook his hand. I said, "Nice, it's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Masao." You know, I looked up at him, he smiles, and you know, he did a little autograph gimmick and all that fun stuff. And then the funny thing is, after I did that with Mr. Masala, Ogawa looks over at me. He's all, you know, he looks at me like, hey, do you want my autograph? And I just, like, no selling, just because I can't stand him. But quite funny. But, yeah, you say you drove, what was it? 8 hours or 6 hours?
No, I drove about 5-6 hours to go see him.
Oh, wow. That kind of sucks, dude. Do we want to know how far I drove?
The worst part was, because of Ring of Honor, I couldn't even get a picture. I drove 6 hours to get a picture with Masala, and I was told I could not get a picture because Noah would not take pictures. So I was not so happy. And that, you know, that match really kind of, you know, that whole experience kind of hurt me being into Noah. And
That's cool. Okay. Okie dokie. Are we still on, guys?
Yeah, we're still on.
Okay, cool. I'm in a garage, so I'm getting the extension cord here. So putting in work on a Sunday. But so now, Rob, what was your favorite Masala singles match?
Well, singles match. I'd probably take the one everybody would take, 6-3-94, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty hard not to like that, But that's actually probably not my favorite match of his, actually. So because I really like this tag match he was in, favorite one. But,
Now, do you think that any two gentlemen nowadays in the business will ever have a program like Kawada and Sala did?
Probably not, because, we're at a different time, and, this is America, not Japan, so, things work differently here, But no, how many wrestlers are in a company more than, 5 years? Very few,
True.
Especially in today's age, so, no, and the other thing is, even if these guys, do have a rivalry, they're going to have so many stupid gimmick matches and this. I mean, no way.
Yeah, I agree. There isn't much focus on the wrestling. It's more of a, we have to do this, we have to entertain, whatever.
Right.
It's not the work anymore. So, I think, what would be close? Maybe the Nigel McGuinness Bryan Danielson series might be close.
Yeah, that's not a bad one.
Yeah. Punk and Joe, maybe, if they would have had more matches.
Right.
They kind of get that type of feel from them.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. But it's really impossible to ever, really quite get the feeling of their matches. Like, I heard someone say it best when they described it as like a heavyweight boxing contest, and it just had a special feel to it that you just can't match. For the time they're in the ring, you could believe everything they were doing was legit, and
mm-hmm.
and that's because it mostly was, and getting back to the Masala Kawada thing, they were rivals and friends in high school. Could anyone ever do something like that,
Well, whether it was singles, tags, six-mans, eight-mans, the Kawada and Masala, they were like that photo finish, in a horse racing race. It's always a photo finish. Either one's a little in the front, one's or the other's in the front, and it's just, no one really won. In the end, no one really won. And I think that was their idea, so that it wasn't about, I'm the winner of the program. No, it's we're both winners. We did this together. You get that type of mentality. And I guess
you have to look at it like, most of the program was built around Kawada finally getting that win. It's more of took him, God, like, you know, maybe
forever.
8 to 10 years since the first Google match to actually, you know, and then that's when things really got ticked up in high gear because, you know, by that time, All Japan had been so far that, you know, German suplexes on the head were, you know, measly a transition spot. You know, that's around the time the Ganso bomb and, you know, they just, it was like, can you top this? And,
yeah, it's just, I don't really don't know how those guys could work that type of style. I honestly don't know, you know, what goes through someone's head. Honestly, I can't fathom it that they do it for, you know, the fans, the love of the business, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's just insane the punishment that those guys put themselves through. You know, and I don't see anybody doing that again. Especially now.
I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on how you look at it, you know. I mean, like their wrestling matches, you know, every day in the indies, someone tries to copy and, you know, hit just as hard and do with the moves like that. So, I mean, you know. But, you know, nothing will ever mean as much, you know.
Agreed. Rob, I'm going to hand the show over to you. I need to mute myself. I have to do a little drilling on this door, so I have to take the doorknob off. So I'm going to hand you the reins. I want you to just speak with any callers that call in and just basically, you know, talk about why you enjoyed watching Misawa in the ring. And then when I come back, I'll hit you up.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead. All right. Okay, it's just me here. So to talk about some of Misawa's history, in 1980, I believe the All Japan High School Senior Championships, he won the championships, and I believe he may have beaten Kawada for one of them. And Kawada and Misawa have a long, long history dating back then. And if you even look online, you can find a picture of them when they were both kids, and that's pretty neat, you know. Who could imagine, you know, 20-year-old Misawa and Kawada together? Then, really, their rivalry is really interesting because, you know, Misawa was kind of what Kawada always wanted to be. Misawa was the good-looking one. Misawa was the one who got the pushes. Misawa had the better body. And, you know, Misawa was more popular with some of the higher-ups in All Japan. Now, one of the reasons you could wonder this is because Giant Baba was known to be a bisexual. And some people think Misawa's push or some of it could have been bitted towards that. But, Misawa did his tours, but Kawada had to rough it out in Canada and USA. And from what's known, he really didn't have a good time. And he's not too big of a fan of foreign wrestling after these experiences. But, yeah, you know, through the years, as we said, the rivalry, the thing was Kawada never won. You know, he never pinned Misawa, and pretty much no one pinned Misawa, not even in tag matches or six-mans, whatever you can think of. You know, Misawa was the unbeatable ace. And the only people who could ever take him down were, like, Jumbo and Hansen, but, you know, they're legends, so. And, so some of the interesting battles they had so many. I mean, you know, they had the 6-3-94 match. They had matches in the Champions Carnival to decide winners. They had tag title matches, tag league matches, and just straight up singles, no titles involved. So it's a really great history. And like we were saying, it's a rivalry that probably can't be matched. I mean, you know, the stiffness, the great matches, the passion, the history, and the intensity. There's no way. And, yeah. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that my favorite Misawa match is actually not a singles match. There's a tag match from around 1993 in July that I urge everybody to seek out. It has Tawe, KZ's favorite, Ogawa, and Kawada. And they fight, I believe, Akiyama. No, they fight Kobashi, Misawa, and Kikuchi. From Noah, and it's just an awesome little fight. Kikuchi gets the crap beaten out of him, and it's just great. So much heart and passion into it while the crowd goes nuts. And I say, you know, Masala wasn't exactly the most important part of that match, but that just happened to be my favorite match he's in. So, and some of the other matches I'd say that are really good are a lot of people love the Jumbo Tsuruta versus Masala series. Masala finally defeating Jumbo after a bunch of matches was really the thing that set All Japan off, because Masala was now the ace and the man. And, you know, he had to fight off everybody while still being kind of inexperienced as a champion. While Jumbo, you know, he's the unsinkable battleship. He was just, you know, he beat everybody. You know, the Funks, the Flares, you know, he held international world titles, did everything. And, if you get a chance, you can check out one of his matches with Jumbo. And it's really great when he pins him for the first time. He holds up his hands in a three and just staring at the ref in awe. Like, did I really pin him? Did I really win? And he did. And as his hand is raised, he still can't believe it. It's a great moment in Masala and one of my favorites. And, some other Masala matches that are definitely worth seeking out are his 1997 match with Kobashi. It's a clinic. It's about 45 minutes of just straight whoopings. You know, they go through everything. And what's really interesting is they turn it into more of a technical match, because they use arm work, and Masala really, it's a really different match than you'd usually see from All Japan. But they use some of the technical stuff and some of the early mat work to make the match work better in the end. And it turned out to be a great match. I believe the Wrestling Observer gave it 5 stars. And, you know, along the lines of, Masala and Kawada 6394 and some of the tag league matches, I mean, it's an absolute classic and must-see match. Yeah, it's just great, you know, because, a couple other interesting matches they had were, and I believe 1998, All Japan finally went to the Tokyo Dome, and this was the big one. Kawada, after 10 years of not even getting close to beating Masala, finally takes him down in front of the dome, in front of a sellout crowd, and it wasn't as good as it could have been, because both men were really injured, especially Masala. You know, I mean, you can't work his style of match for years and not get banged up. And, may not have been the best match, because they just couldn't do it. But it's a really cool moment, you know, when Kawada finally pins Masala. It's a great moment, and it really makes you happy to be a fan sometimes.
Yeah, I have to agree with that Tokyo Dome match. It was really good, but it wasn't their best effort. You're right, Masala was banged up pretty bad. So,
but, yeah, I mean, they had, if I remember correctly, they had to, you know, this is like the only match he did for a little bit because, you know, he just couldn't take it right now. He was so beat up. Mm-hmm. And then what sucks is right after that, either Kawada got injured or he lost the title. So, you know, it was just one of the many battles in the long war.
Yeah. That I don't think ever ended.
No.
Do you think?
No, it definitely didn't. I mean, the next year they did again, and, you know, even in 2005, you know, they were still going at it.
I'm on my phone. I think it'll just end up in heaven. You know, the good Lord will say, okay, you're going over.
Well, I wonder, you know. Never know.
Anybody in the Quay? Kev? Kevin?
No.
Are you there?
No.
No, Kev's sleeping. Chisel out this part for the door here. Oh, fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm doing my best here. Please excuse me, everybody. I have a really bad cold, so I'm sorry to talk. I haven't had much left in me.
It's all good, dude. You're carrying me. It probably counts. You know, you got to return the favor sometime. Now, do you think there will ever be a man in a native in Japan that will ever be loved as much as Masala was?
That's a tough one. Right now, no, because, you know, I mean, it's just not there. You know, this is a problem that, you know, has been happening for years, you know. You know, Masal has always wanted to drop the ball and let someone else take it, but he just can't. You know, there's no, I mean, there's no one else that's ready to take it. And, you know, part of the problem is, you know, in the early 90s, Old Japan lost a really good TV time slot. And, you know, I mean, when people can't watch your show, you know, especially for free, they're not going to become attached to the product.
Very true.
Yeah, I mean,
that's very true.
No way, you know. You know, all Japan's been, you know, everybody's been searching for that star for the last how many years, but it's just not there.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I don't see anybody on the horizon. You know, I mean, not just New Japan. I mean, all over. There isn't anybody, you know, that could, that has that type of a charisma that could pick up the ball. And sure, now not Tanahashi, I'll tell you that.
Part of the problem is, you know, no one's being given the ball. You know, I mean, who knows how many Triple Crown reigns, and, you know, I mean, you know, just until the last few years, none of the younger guys were really getting pushes. But, you know, I mean, so someone's just going to have to take a chance and do some better scouting and, you know, give some of these younger guys a chance to shine.
Well, do you think that this is the opportunity for Go Shiozaki?
That's a tough one. I'm pretty sure the reason they did that is partially because they wanted to get some of the hot air off of the story. You know, they wanted to make the fans be happy and give them something to else to think about instead of Misawa. So, I mean, it was a last-minute decision, and I know it wasn't supposed to happen yet, but, you know, I mean, it doesn't hurt. You know, I mean, at this point, you know, what else have they got to do? They're going to have their biggest crowds because everybody's going to come to see, you know, what happened with Misawa. So, why not give him the belt? I mean, I think it's a good move, but it could be Go's time, you know. Go has a lot of basics done, and he has a lot of important things that you need to make a superstar. But, you know, so we'll just have to wait and see. I think Go's pretty good, actually. I mean, his, you know, even when he debuted, he was really good, and, you know, he's a lot of the basic style, and it reminds me a lot of Kobashi, and obviously Noah felt the same way as they teamed them up before, so, it's, yeah, hopefully he can do it, yeah, hopefully he can do it. Looks like it's just me on the line here, yeah, but going back to what I was saying, though, you know, I mean, with Japan, you know, Noah just lost their TV, so they can't, you know, they lost their good TV show. Now they're stuck on Samurai TV, and for those who don't know, Samurai TV is about I think it's something like $30 or $70 a month just to get a couple channels related to that. So,
right.
You know, no one's, you know, you can't become a superstar on Samurai TV. And,
it's not possible. It's not enough viewership.
No, no. You know, I mean, but, you know, I mean, now's the time. I mean, they got to push them because they're going to have some extra crowds in right now. So you got to get with it.
True. Now, who do you think they're going to program go with first? Morishima?
I don't know, really. Obviously, Akiyama's down the line. You know, Akiyama's going to be the Misawa goes Akiyama, because you know it reminds me so much of you know, Misawa and Akiyama, how Misawa gave Akiyama so many fights and chances to become that next star. But,
do you think it's
going to
take 10 years or no?
I hope not. Noah may not have 10 years, to be honest.
Akiyama,
you know,
won't.
I mean, they just have to push him. Convincingly, you know, they have to just, they can't push him too hard and they can't push him too weak.
Mm-hmm. Okay there, Robert?
No.
No, but you're a trooper, brother.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know what the first feud will be. Yeah, I wouldn't say – I'd say Rikio would be a pretty good guess. I mean, they had him fight for the title, so they got nothing else to do right now, so they might as well.
True. Rikio? Well,
yeah.
It's not about drawing money now, okay? It's about survival.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's what it is now, is survival. You know, and we'll – you know, we'll see what happens from there, and things are going to get, you know, pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, are they going to stay with the native, or are they going to, you know, maybe try a Gaijin?
That's interesting, but I don't think they'll try any Gaijin. You know, if you know, we've had some people say that Noah's not very Gaijin-friendly, and I'd really be surprised. I would really be surprised if they did that. I mean, it'd be great if they did, but I don't think it's going to happen. Isn't that, you know?
Okay. So let's be the devil's advocate. Say they do go with it.
I mean, they got Bison Smith. You know, that's the only person. But
mm-hmm. Bison's money.
Yeah.
And I've been saying that for years since he got his Noah deal.
You know, I mean... You know, I mean, really, what do they got to lose at this point? But I hope they don't go the sleazy route and try to do something with Akitoshi Saito, you know, who was involved in the death, because he did the backdrop. So just hope they don't do that. That wouldn't be nice at all.
I don't think they would.
No, hopefully not.
Honestly, I don't think they would, because... you know, what's his name? Baba would roll over in his grave. Yeah, I mean, it's... you know, it's not the late 70s, early 80s with the Sheik and Abby. You know, it's not that kind of sleazy type.
The other thing to think about is, you know, Noah's going to be in an all new direction and, you know, look right now because Misawa, you know, he's not the head boss anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it could be interesting to see who else, you know, gets some power because it could have some really big effects.
Okay. Well, I'm going to jump off. I got to use the drill again. So continue, sir. Doing very well.
I'm going to try. Yeah, but, you know, Misawa was the president of NOAA, and he was the, you know, the guy because he founded it. So really got to wonder what they're going to do. You know, Akiyama is known as the booker, and Nakata is the director. And, you know, obviously they know the house going to have to do something big while they can right now. So whatever that thing may be, I don't know. You know, obviously, you know, Noah's been making big strides lately with Go becoming champion and just getting pushed. And, you know, they're changing all kinds of characters and, you know, basically surviving on a do-or-die mode. I don't know. It's really going to be interesting to see what Noah does. As I said, their attendances are already going to be spiked up, and as of the first show today, they are, because everybody, you know, wants to see, oh, what's going to happen now that Misawa is no longer there. You know what I mean? I'm interested myself to see. So, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. You know, I think Noah at this point, you know, it's just survival mode. They gotta find whoever they can to wrestle for them. They gotta, you know, they gotta put in all the chips. You know, whether that means Kobashi coming back to do some big matches, see if you can get Takayama to do some serious matches. Maybe finally let one of the dream matches happen with Kobashi. You know, they gotta do something. So because this is gonna be the most important time. you know, but I would try to find new talent. I think new talent is the key to success. And, you know, I mean, there's got to be someone out there who wants to wrestle. And, you know, maybe they have to look overseas, you know, maybe they have to look somewhere deep in their own promotion. But you never know who that big superstar is going to be because no one ever thought, you know, Stunning Steve Austin was going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, the biggest star of all time. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. You know, me just liking wrestling and hoping for the best, I hope they are able to pull out of this, and I hope somehow they end up, you know, even bigger and more popular than before, as unlikely as that could be. Excuse me one second. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So.
That was a good call.
Now,
productive.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been kicking it since about 11 today because I had to go do work for about 8 hours. So I literally came home and jumped on the phone to talk about
11.
And I still have other stuff to do before 12 a.m. tomorrow for 12. Twelve at noon. Oh, on what?
Any callers on the quay, Tip?
Lines are open.
Awesome.
Not yet.
Hold on, guys. Please hold on. Please.
Continue, Robert.
I think Rob said he had to step off for just a second there.
Okay. All right. Can you play the Angry Marks commercial for me, please?
Absolutely. We'll be right back.
Pro wrestling got you down? Need something to lift your spirits? Listen to the podcast at angrymarks.com. If wrestling gets you all hot and bothered, we've got what you need. Visit angrymarks.com or subscribe for free on iTunes. The angrymarks.com podcast, where the marks get nothing but satisfaction.
Hey, KZ, no, I gotta hang up for a second. I'll be right back. All right, give me a minute.
Hey, Rob, I'm gonna just close it out.
All right.
So I'm having troubles. So we'll see. Maybe we can do a show later on this week. We'll see. I'll let you know. But
right.
Thanks for calling in and feeling bad, brother.
All right. I'll see you. Bye.
Okay, that was Joshi Rob. We're gonna cut it out. I'm having trouble with his door. So, and Rob is sick. So. Plus the couple people that were supposed to call in were supposed to call in from the road. So let's wrap it up. AngryMarks.com, check out the boys. WrestleWarehouse.com and SlamBamJam.com. Go to SlamBamJam. They have a... Okay, just search Masao and you'll see what will happen. I'm not going to fucking push anything. So Odessa Steps can suck my nuts. But Kev, thanks for stepping up, brother. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Awesome, brother. I'm going to hang up, and then you can hang up, and that'll do it.
All righty. We'll see you
later
this week.
All right, brother.
All right.